نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، إنه من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وإمامنا وقائدنا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم بلغ الرسالات وأدى الأمانات ونصح الأمم وكشف الله به الغمم وتركنا على المحاجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك. وبعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في دين الله بدعة، وكل بدعة في دين الله ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. My brothers and my sisters in Islam, I begin with the greeting of Islam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I begin by testifying that none is worthy of worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I continue my testimony by declaring and proclaiming that the beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad, is the final messenger and a servant of Allah. Whomever Allah guides, none can misguide. And whomever Allah allows to go astray due to their own wrongful actions, sinful desires and inclinations, none can guide except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and my sisters, before I begin, I'm just going to make a very quick request. If we can all just stand up and take a step forward, because there's a lot of brothers and sisters in the back that need that extra space. So please, if we just all take a step forward, inshallah, may Allah bless you and give you Jannah Firdaus, we can accommodate our brothers at the back as much as possible. JazakAllah. My brothers and my sisters, by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, many of us have just come back from Hajj. And Hajj is a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And during the time of Hajj, wallahi, we saw miracles. And my first advice in this khutbah, for everyone who's here, who has not been to Hajj, make the intention to go to Hajj. Because Hajj is the fifth pillar of Islam. I want you to imagine there's a chair, and that chair has four or five legs, but one leg is missing. There will always be something, subhanAllah, missing in your deen, if you have the means and you do not go to Hajj. And during this journey specifically, wallahi, I personally saw so many beautiful signs and so many beautiful miracles that really revive one's iman. And I will share with you one or two stories, inshallah, before getting into the topic for today. We were sitting in Muna and we were speaking, and some of the brothers shared that they did not imagine in their lifetime that they would be able to go to Hajj. They did not have the money. They were so broke that they couldn't imagine going to Hajj, because sometimes people say, you know what, I wish I can go, but I don't have the funds. I don't have the money. And so this is an example, subhanAllah, of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can facilitate. So one of the brothers shared with us that he was actually let go of his work, jobless. And he was in a very difficult financial situation. So he went to the masjid. And he, even though he had dignity and respect and didn't want to, he was forced to apply for zakat. Forced to. But the masjid said, no, we can't give you zakat. For whatever reason. So he felt very hurt and didn't know who else to turn to. So he came to the musalla in the masjid. And he put his hand up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tears rolled down his eyes. And he said, Ya Allah, who else can I turn to? Ya Allah, help me. Ya Allah, facilitate for me. And he was making dua. And at that moment, he was so touched that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala facilitated in ways that we cannot imagine. A man walks into the masjid and sees him crying. There's no one else, just him in the masjid. And this man sees him crying. Excuse me. So he asks him, what is your story? What's making you cry? And he says, you know what, it's okay. It's between me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he insisted, please tell me, what's making you cry? And he told him, you know what, this and this and this happened. And I knew Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find me a way out. So he told him, you know what? Here is a small little check. And he gave him a check with enough money to get into the rest of the month. And he told him, you know what? I'm going to get you or help you find a job at my local physician's office. And inshallah, you'll be able to get just enough money to get by and get on your feet. He took him and got him a job at a local physician's office. Subhanallah, imagine that physician developed a good relationship with that man who was now working around the office, cleaning, helping out, doing some little light office work as well. And he was supposed to, that doctor was supposed to go to Hajj with his wife. But his wife, and he already paid for the tickets, but his wife was pregnant. Good news came that his wife is pregnant and she cannot go to Hajj. So he went to this man who was just hired for maybe a month or so. And he told him, you know what? I would like to invite you to come with me to Hajj. And he says, and he shared with us, that when I was at the masjid, I was making dua, Ya Allah, if you give me the financial capacity, I promise you that I'll go to Hajj this year. And interestingly, not only did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him the financial capacity, but Allah gave him even the gift of Hajj for free. My brothers and my sisters, this is one amongst many, many beautiful things that you see when you travel, and you see the power and the beauty of the ummah. You see the ummah coming together. And yes, there are many, many subhanAllah, things that you see that make you hurt also in Hajj. There's a little bit of disorganization, a little bit of, you know, all the things that happen. But you know what? There's also a lot of khair that you can look at. And when I was sitting there in Hajj, I thought to myself, subhanAllah, look at the power of the ummah when we come together. Look at the numbers and the strength and the ability to really touch one another when we come together. You know, even in Hajj, and I saw this with my own eyes, and I'm going to share with you for وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ ذِكْرَ تَفْعَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And also, Sheikh Dawood Butt saw a similar incident in Hajj also. There was this man with a cane going around the Kaaba, and he saw another man. You know, this happened after Muna, after the incident in which the brother told me the story. So I was like, really, can this happen? SubhanAllah, can it really happen? So Allah showed it to me right in front of my own eyes, around the Kaaba. There was this man going around with a cane, an older person. And there was this other guy, he came very close to the Kaaba. He was clinging to the Kaaba, crying. They tried to pull him out, he refused. So finally, after a while, they pulled him out by force, and he was sitting back a little bit further out, crying. So the man came to him and sat with him, struggled to sit next to him, and said, what is your problem? And he opened up to him and talked to him about this and this and that, and told him, you know what, I've been struggling to get married. I'm so, just everyone that I knock on the door of turns me away. No one wants to give me a chance for whatever reason, and I'm struggling at home, finances, and I can imagine that no one wants to give their daughter to someone who's as broke as I am at this time. So he took out a checkbook, and he wrote for him the equivalent of 50,000 Canadian dollars. As sadaqah. He said, take this. Allah answered your dua today. Imagine, my brothers and sisters, there are those walking around in Mecca, waiting for opportunities to help others. And they come in big doses and small doses. You see kids walking around with dates and tamar and chocolate. You see people walking around with water. You know, sometimes people think, you know, I have to carry my own water bottle around. Wallahi, this Hajj, I didn't have to carry a water bottle around. Every other corner that you turn, someone comes to you. Sabeen, for the sake of Allah, take this, take that. You can go for the entire journey of Hajj without taking any food from home. Because there will be at every corner someone turning, giving you food, offering you something. Locals and Hujjaj. I remember people, subhanAllah, not having places. You know, the hotel, for whatever reason, was sold out. They lost their wallet. They didn't have a place to go. People didn't have any issues. Come, sit with me. People are fighting. Fighting over who's going to take him home. No, you come to my place. No, you come to my tent. You come to my tent. Did you ask your team? They're not going to have an issue. I know they're not going to have an issue. We have five people already in the room. What's another person going to do? Come. It's not going to be an issue. You see the best of the ummah in Hajj. And you sit back and you think to yourself,
why isn't this happening every day? Why isn't this happening in my masjid? Why is this a short-lived experience? We all come experience this high boost of iman, experience signs. And I'm not just talking about signs that other people allow you to see. I'm talking about signs that Allah allows you to see. Wallahi, Allah is my witness. We were in Arafah, and Shaykh Abdullah Idris was there. And I was sitting in Arafah, inside the tent. Outside it was very hot. Hot. It was around 45, 50 degrees, even more. It felt like 55 degrees. And one brother was standing right next to me, making dua. And he was saying the dua, Allahumma ghsilna bilma'i wal-thalji wal-barad. O Allah, wash us and allow to pour upon us water, snow, and hail to wash our sins and to purify us. Not more than 10 minutes later, out of nowhere, clouds form. And you hear the sound of subhanAllah, the water breaking in the sky and the water pouring. And if you look at their videos, if you look at the very first 10 minutes of the water coming down, it came down in the form of small little rocks. Him. You were there, Shaykh. Remember that? He's nodding. And those who went to Hajj remember that. It came down in the form of hail. And I remember people running and walking out, and subhanAllah, it felt like 50 degrees plus, and now it feels like 25 degrees. And people were what? And I'm not saying it's the guy's dua, perhaps Allah knows best, but there were many other people who were making the same dua. It's a dua that everyone makes. Ya Allah, wash us and purify us. And imagine for many of us in that moment, that was a huge sign. That was a big blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walking outside of the tents, going out into the beautiful, beautiful, just open space and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Many examples. And I can talk to you about these for many, many hours. But at the same time, we were also sad. We were also sad. Because you look at what's happening in Kashmir, the news hit us. We weren't on our phones. It took a while, and towards the last few days, we finally got, you know, we're looking at our phones to see what's happening, checking up on family, making sure everyone was okay, and the headlines came. This is what's happening in Kashmir. And the headlines came. This is the escalation in Burma. And you just sit back and you think to yourself, look at the past couple of years, look at what's happened in Palestine. Last, you know, subhanAllah, dozens of years now, decades. Look at what's happening in Syria. Look at what's happening in Iraq. Look at what's happening in Egypt. Look at what's happening everywhere where there is a government that has what they claim to be an Islamic-based constitution. Look at what's happening in our side of the world. And look at what's happening here. And it reminded me, my brothers and my sisters, of a few ahadith that I would like to share with you. And I would like to, inshallah, leave you with a few positive reminders and takeaways that we can take, inshallah, to keep and to stay positive and to stay in our best states. Allahumma ya Rabb, Ameen. My brothers and my sisters, the Prophet Muhammad says, and in a hadith, all the hadith that we're going to share, كل الأحاديث ثابتة وصحيحة. فموضوع اليوم حديث اليوم عن آخر الزمان. الأحاديث الصحيحة الواردة في آخر الزمان. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, my brothers and my sisters, says, لَيَأْتِيَنَّ عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ قُلُوبُهُمْ قُلُوبُ الْأَعَاجِمِ حَبُّ الدُّنْيَا سُنَّتُهُمْ سُنَّةُ الْأَعْرَابِ مَا آتَاهُمْ مِنْ رِزْقٍ جَعَلُوهُ فِي الْحَيَوَانِ يَرَوْنَ الْجِهَادَ ضَرَرًا وَالزَّكَاةَ مَغْرَمًا. Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, there will come a time for my ummah when their hearts will be like the hearts of those who don't say La ilaha illallah. Can you imagine? There will be no difference between their internal state and the internal state of someone who doesn't believe in Allah. Same internal state. Some of them might be coming to the masjid, praying, doing all of the things outwardly, but inside, they're not what they used to be. He says, they will love dunya. They will love dunya. They will live for it. They will love it. They will go for it. I want you to imagine, there's an opportunity to pray Fajr in the masjid versus an opportunity to make $100,000. Which one are you going to take? Which one are you going to be more excited to go to? When we know the hadith are clear, that to walk to the masjid, even if you had to crawl, is better for you if you knew. So they will love dunya. And their life will be like the life of what?
their life will be like the life of the A'rab. They will take on the life of the people who didn't receive any revelation. Didn't receive like the Bedouin life. They will go back to the life of, you know, the dark days, the Jahiliyyah, in which, haram, halal, it doesn't matter, just live. And he says they will see whatever Allah has given them in provision, money that comes as the paycheck, they will spend it on life and just living, having fun. When can I take my next vacation? When can I go shopping? When can I do this? When can I do that? How was it back then? Whatever money came, people used to excitedly, readily push and invest that into what? Into service to the community, into building. Imagine Abu Bakr and Umar competing, one donating half of his wealth, Umar. I'm thinking today is the day that I beat Abu Bakr. But Abu Bakr donates all of his wealth. Imagine the time in which Uthman ibn Affan put his hand up over and over and over again and gave himself. Imagine their time, their life, their children. They dedicated everything that they had to the service of this deen, knowing that Allah does not need them, but knowing that they, through doing this, are attaining the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, they will see struggle as a harm. They will see jihad of all of its kind as a harm. Oh man, I don't want to go to the masjid and volunteer. I don't have time. I really should focus on my studies. You know, I have this thing coming up. I have this work. Plus the masjid, you know, you can't trust anyone these days. I don't even know if my money is going to go to the right place. So they will make any excuse to avoid struggling for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't trust anyone. I don't know. Any excuse to avoid giving for the sake of Allah, struggling for the sake of Allah, and jihad of all of its kind. And they will look at zakah as a madrama. So they will look at the charity that they're supposed to give as an obstacle. Do I really have to? And it's like a debt, it's like a burden that they have to now go through. Instead of being excited to give, Allah has given me. So I give, and not just that, I give more. The Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, يَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ زَمَانٌ مَا يُبَالِي الرَّجُلُ مِنْ أَيْنَ أَصَابَ الْمَالِ مِنْ حَلَالٍ أَوْ حَرَامٍ. There will come a time in which the people will not question where their money comes from, whether it's halal or haram. They will ask, that's okay. This guy forgot to take his money, it doesn't matter. I got this extra, it doesn't matter, it's okay. People will cut corners. The honesty is lost, or at least faded in our community. And don't we see that? SubhanAllah, you hear it. Some people are saying, I don't want to hire a Muslim contractor because I'm afraid they're going to cut corners. When it should be the opposite. I want to be able to help my Muslim brother. I want to be able to hire my Muslim sister because I know they will do the best work. Not go ahead, you're my Muslim brother. Can you give me $1,000 discount? Should be, you're my Muslim brother. Do the best that you can. You know, I'm going to pay you extra because you're my Muslim brother. That attitude of being there for one another and making sure that our income is halal. You know, there are many examples of this. And there's a beautiful example of an Imam al-Shafi'i in which a man came to him. I know earlier I mentioned Imam al-Hanifa, but it's actually Imam al-Shafi'i. A man came to him and he said, I'm getting paid 5 dinars, but it's not enough. I'm not able to function. So to go back to your boss and ask for 4. He still didn't have it enough to be able to function. Go back to your boss and ask for 3. Finally, he went back to his boss and asked for less. And when he came back a while later, he was able to pay off and he was living a much more comfortable life. So he's sitting down like, what happened? I have less, but now I'm able to do more with it. And so he went to Imam al-Shafi'i and said, well, what do you mean? How does this work? And he told him, and he said the famous line, جَمَعَ الْحَرَامُ عَلَى الْحَلَالِ لِيُكْثِرَ دَخَلَ الْحَرَامُ عَلَى الْحَلَالِ فَبَعْثَرَ. They collected the halal and the haram together to make more, but the haram entered upon the halal and squatted the barakah away, scattered the barakah away. The Prophet Muhammad sallam, my brothers and my sisters, also says, سَيَأْتِي عَلَى النَّاسِ سَنَوَاتٌ خَدَّعَاتٌ يُصَدَّقُ فِيهِمَ الْكَاذِبُ أَوْ فِيهَا الْكَاذِبُ وَيُكَذَّبُ فِيهَا الصَّادِقُ وَيُؤْتَمَنُ فِيهَا الْخَائِنُ وَيُخَوَّنُ فِيهَا الْأَمِينُ وَيَنْطِقُ فِيهَا الرُّوَيْبِضَةُ قِيلَ وَمَا الرُّوَيْبِضَةُ قَالَ الرَّجُلُ التَّافِهُ فِي أَمْرِ الْعَامَّةِ. Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he says, there will come a time in which the days and the years will be very deceptive. Very deceptive. The dishonest person will be believed, and the honest person will be disbelieved, and the person that is trustworthy will not be given trust, and the person that is not trustworthy will be given trust.
And the people who have no idea what they're talking about will speak and will be given the podiums and will be given the mics. And they will be given charge and responsibility over people. Isn't that amazing? Look at who's running for office in the UK. Look at who's running for office in the South. Look at the presidents and the prime ministers all over the world. Right? Look at who's running for office even here locally. Look at those that people, subhanAllah, mobilize and rally around. And I'm not saying everyone is dishonest. No, not at all. But it's become now so widespread that people just like, oh, here's just another lie, another lie, another lie. What politician doesn't lie? It's just become a norm. It's become a norm. The people that we elect to take care of the community, to take care of others, it's expected that they're going to be dishonest. How else would they get there? Can you imagine? That's what we've come to, subhanAllah. My brothers and my sisters, the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ also says, إِنَّ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ السَّاعَةِ فِتَنًا كَقِطْعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ فِيهَا مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا وَيُمْسِي مُؤْمِنًا وَيُصْبِحُ كَافِرًا الْقَاعِدُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْقَائِمِ وَالْقَائِمُ فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمَاشِي وَالْمَاشِي فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِنَ السَّاعِي فَكَسِّرُوا قِسْيَكُمْ وقطعوا أوتاركم واضربوا بسيوفكم الحجارة فإن دخل على أحدكم فليكن كخير ابن آدم أو كخير ابن آدم. The Prophet Muhammad Sallam, he says, there's going to be coming a time of fitan, so many fitan, as though it's a dark night all over the place, darkness prevailing. The person will wake up a believer and go to sleep a disbeliever. Or will wake up a disbeliever and go to sleep a believer. Imagine the constant turmoil, the constant moving up and down between Iman and Iman states. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, he says, during those times, it will be better to be sitting than to be standing. And better to be standing than to be walking. And better to be walking than to be running or hustling. And during those times, take whatever you have that could be used for war and break it. Take your arrows and break them. Take your swords and break them. And if someone were to come and enter upon you in those days in which killing will be widespread, and perhaps this is not the time, but perhaps later, imagine how difficult it can get for the ummah. There will come a time in which killing will be absolutely widespread. That is better to break away anything that you could use to fight so that you would not be involved in any bloodshed. What did the Prophet Muhammad Sallam say to keep us motivated during those times, my brothers and my sisters? The Prophet Muhammad Sallam also told us, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي ظاهرين على الحق لا يضرهم من خذلهم حتى يأتي أمر الله وهم كذلك. He says, there will come a time, or there will always be till the end of time, a group among my ummah who will never, they will never be hesitant to do what is right. And they will hold on to what is true. And they will not be harmed by those that sway out and do wrong. And they will be strong and persistent until the day they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they'll still be in that state. What does that mean? That means during all of those difficult times and all those ups and downs, there will be those that will hold on and they will never shake. And they will always be optimistic. And they will always do what is right. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ commenting, you know, there's a beautiful ayah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا عَلَيْكُمْ أَنفُسَكُمْ لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ مَنْ ضَلَّ إِذَا اهْتَدَيْتُمْ. O you who believe, hold on to yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Do not let anyone who's gone astray to harm you, to take you with them. Be that one different person. Be that unique individual. Be that person that will be honest when everyone else is dishonest. Be that person that will always be good when others let you down. Rise above all the fitan and have the strong perception and strong idea in your mind that Allah will reward you. And how do we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you, my brothers and my sisters? The Prophet Muhammad Sallam says in the hadith, which is beautiful, unauthentic and authentic, he says that there will come a time when the person who does something good amongst you will receive the reward of 50 companions doing the same thing. And the hadith is authentic. The Prophet Muhammad says, حينما سئل عن الآية لا يضركم من ضل إذا اهتديتم قال واحد من الصحابة سألت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال بل اتمروا بالمعروف وتناهوا عن المنكر حتى إذا رأيتم شحا مطاعا وهوى متبعا ودنيا مؤثرة وإعجاب كل ذي رأي برأيه فعليك نفسك ودع أمور العوام فإن من وراءكم أياما الصبر فيهن مثل قبض على الجمر للعامل فيهن مثل أجر 50 رجلا يعملون مثل عمله فسألوه يا رسول الله رجالا منهم أم منا قال رجالا منكم. So the companions asked Rasulullah sallam about this ayah. Hold on tight and don't be affected by anyone else who goes astray. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you advise us? He says, I command you to always do what is good, and to command and encourage and motivate others around you to do what is good, and to hold each other accountable and avoid what is wrong, and encourage and push each other to avoid what is wrong. Even if you see people who are disbelieving, and people who are stingy, and people who are selfish, and people who are holding on to themselves and their opinions, and people who are self-conceited, and if you see people that love their opinions and love to talk, and everyone thinks that they're right, if you see all of that, hold on tight and know that during those times, do not be affected by the masses and the public opinion. Focus on what is right and focus on what I've given you, and hold on with your molded teeth to the Quran and the Sunnah, because during those times, the one who does good amongst you will get the reward of 50 of those who do the same thing. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, 50 of them or 50 of us? He says, 50 of you, meaning 50 of the companions. And the hadith is sahih. My brothers and my sisters, the Prophet Muhammad also says in a beautiful hadith that there will come a time in which one of you would be destroyed. Listen to this carefully. The Prophet is talking to the companions, and I finish with this. He says, إِنَّكُمْ فِي زَمَانٍ مَنْ تَرَكَ مِنْكُمْ عَشْرَ مِمَّا أُمِرَ بِهِ هَلَكَ ثُمَّ يَأْتِي زَمَانٌ مَنْ عَمِلَ مِنْكُمْ بِعَشْرٍ مِمَّا أُمِرَ بِهِ نَجَى. And the hadith is sahih. There will come a time, or he's speaking to the companions, he says, you're living in a time, if you leave 10 things of Islam, you'll be destroyed. Imagine, 10 things of Islam. Islam, all of its beautiful intricacies. If you leave 10 things, you'll be destroyed. But there will come a time in which there's so much ignorance and so little hope that the one who does 10 things of Islam would be saved. So remember that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there. The mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always be there. And perhaps La ilaha illallah at a time can be enough to save a community if they hold on to it and if they say sincerely. So don't ever panic. When we see these ahadith, it's not there to get us to think apocalyptically. Oh, it's over. Because people have been thinking about this for the last century, for the last 20, you know, for the last 1,000 years. Every group thought this is it, this is the end times. So we're not sharing these ahadith for everyone to go home and say, ah, this is the end times, because Allahu A'lam, and no one knows when the sa'ah is. Just sharing this ahadith to remind you that the Prophet Muhammad with tears in his eyes saw the condition that we're in, and told us to hold on and not panic, and told us to do good and to be that different individual and to be that different community that will be a source of inspiration for those around. So my brothers and my sisters, hold on tight and know that the greater the struggle, the greater the reward. And think of ways that you can help those who are coming, asking for help. And think that the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a place where we have safety, peace and security that many other Muslims around the world don't have, it's not a time to become complacent and to enjoy the luxury and forget what other people are going through, but it's a time for us to use what Allah has given us to be thinking and to be reflective and to be engaged in that communal planning and how to make our Muslim Ummah better and how to serve those that don't have what we have. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who inspire others to change. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those who hold on to the Quran and the Sunnah without compromise. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to be from those who give back, expecting nothing in return. واستغفر الله لي ولكم سائر المسلمين. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى. اللهم اهدنا فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك اللهم لنا فيما أعطيت. اللهم اهدنا وهدنا واجعلنا مهتدين. اللهم بارك لنا وفينا وعلينا واجعلنا مباركين. اللهم اقبلنا وتقبل منا واجعلنا مقبولين. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها، أنت وليها مولاها. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين المسلمين المؤمنين الموحدين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم وحد صفوفنا، اللهم استر عيوبنا، وآمنا في أوطاننا، واحفظ بلاد المسلمين عن اليمائل والشمائل يا رب العالمين. واقم الصلاة، إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.